ما شاء الله.
على نبينا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the seventh day after the commencement of the fasting in the month of Ramadan, 1444. Which is the 29th day of the month of March 2023. Let's have questions if we have some.
No.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah bless your life.
All of us inshallah ta'ala.
So I'm asking, what are the ways possible for me to increase my iman?
Well, you see, iman gets increased, it also gets decreased. Yeah. According to the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, iman is liable to be increased and to also be decreased. Those who claim that iman cannot be increased are the bid'atic people, are not on the right track. وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَدْنُوا إِيمَانًا. So it tells you, yes, iman can be amplified, can be increased and can be decreased depending on one's attachment to the tenet of Islam. For example, somebody who controls his eyes from looking at things forbidden, he controls his hands, does not put his hand on things forbidden, he controls his leg, does not walk to places forbidden, this one you can see his iman on the high side. Somebody is drunkard, going after women, or she's going after men, committing sorts of things that are bad, their iman cannot be on the same page. Oh, this is natural. So let me emphasize before answering the question that yes, iman gets increased and it gets decreased depending on your ability to maintain the tenet of iman. Now, how can I increase, amplify, magnify, if you like it, my iman? This is very simple. You see, if you want to get your iman on the high side, keep away from things forbidden. Yeah. There is a narrative in the book of At-Tirmidhi, and the hadith is sound on the authority of Abu Huraira. May Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet says, listen to the hadith. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ تَكُونَ. The hadith says, it's talking about how to increase and make your iman on the high side. It says, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ تَكُونَ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Keep away from things forbidden by Allah and you will be most devoted. There is in Tirmidhi. If you try to keep distance from things forbidden, shirk, fornication, adultery, lying, hypocrisy, alright, devouring river, and on, by keeping or by distancing yourself from things forbidden, your iman will be increased, definitely. So this is the hadith. Secondly, he says, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. Be contented. Be okay with things that Allah has given unto you. You will be the richest of all people. Yeah. If you earn $1 a week, for example, or $10 a week, somebody earns $10,000 a week, Allah gives him, he too gives you. Don't link your mind to him trying to bring him down. Why should he be higher than myself? Don't do that. That's because your iman is shaky. If you know Allah is the provider, agree Allah gives him, you too should walk to actualize your goals. So by, you know, being okay with things given to you by Allah, definitely your iman will be increased, will be, you know, made to be on the high side. This is the second thing in the hadith. Number three, he says, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. Allahu Akbar. Show goodness to your neighbor. Show goodness to your neighbor. Love your neighbor the way you love yourself. This is Islam. And you will be true believer. Now the neighbors are of three categories. There is one neighbor who claims three rights on you. He is a Muslim. Your blood relation and your neighbor. He has how many rights? Three. There is the second kind of neighbor who has only two rights on you. He is a Muslim, your neighbor, but you don't share any blood connection with. He has two rights. The third class of neighbors is one having only one right. He's a non-Muslim, okay? Non-Muslim, but he's a neighbor. Don't say being a kafir, I do as I desire against you. No, that is a bad thing for a Muslim to do that. So you can see this hadith is very clear in telling you how your iman can be increased, can be quantified if you like it, and can be qualified as well. Similarly, he says, number three, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا. Love for other people what you love for yourself, then you become a good Muslim. Other people, not necessarily Muslims, no, because they too are human beings. And number five, he says, وَلَا تُكْثِرُ الضَّحِكَ فَإِنَّ كَثَرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Don't be laughing hysterically. Hysterical laughter. You're always laughing. Has God given you ticket to the paradise? Now you're laughing. You don't know how your grave is going to be. So why laughing? Love gently. Behave gently. But hysterical laughter on constant basis deadens the heart. It makes your heart dead. Dead, not in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense, of course. So these five items in the hadith are very, very important in doubling, in tripling, in quadrupling, in quintupling, in sextupling your iman, definitely. Similarly, in the month of Ramadan, especially if you want your iman to be increased, read Quran constantly. I think I told you here, Imam Qatada used to read Quran from cover to the cover weekly. Weekly. But when Ramadan comes, he doubles the effort. He reads Quran three times. In three days. Okay? When the last 10 days come, he used to read Quran daily. From Fatiha to Nas, on daily basis. The iman has been on the high side. You too can do something similar to that. Okay? Give sadaqah. A Muslim brother fasting, give him water to break his fast. Give him date. Give him dinner. Host people to dinner for Ramadan. These are some of the things that will definitely make your iman increase. Control your gazes. Don't be a liar. Don't chase women. Don't chase men. Don't devour river. You know river? Usury. Those consuming river, their iman is slashed down. The Quran in chapter number 2, verse 275 says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. Those who devour river will be resurrected from the grave the way like people with epileptic fit, epilepsy. They will easily be known. If you want your iman to be increased, don't commit zina. Abadan. Don't break promises. Do extra ibadah. For example, you can offer 2 rakah before Zuhr, 2 after, 2 before Asr, 2 after Maghrib. You have to engage in extra curriculum, if you like it. Extra ibadah, supererogative ones. Fasting in the month of Ramadan, this is wajib. Sidi Shawwal is supererogative. You do all these things that are there, they have the chances of making your iman definitely increase. And finally, if you want your iman to be qualitative, to be fine-tuned, to be upgraded, constantly remember the day you will leave this world. You don't know the day, but it's coming, surely. You remember such a day, you'll be laid down, straight, being washed and bathed. You can't talk, you can't move, you can't see them. That increases your iman. Remember how people are inserted into the tomb, into the grave, and left there. No water, no food, no wife, no nobody, only your deed. That definitely has the chance of amplifying your iman. These are some, it's not a lecture, some of the things will definitely increase iman. Oh Allah, amplify our iman. Next question.
Wa iyyakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So yesterday you discussed about good government.
Naam.
Concerning the point number 5, shelter. What are the legality of federal mortgage in connection with this?
Yes. During talking about al-mulk, I found it very relevant and apt and timely to talk about the 15-point agenda for good governance. I said it yesterday. I don't know if you have them written and documented. That any government that wants to be reasonable, truly people conscious, truly democratic, as they say, either democratic or kakistocratic, okay? If you really want to be democratic, as you say, not kakistocratic, then there are a 15-point agenda. I'm not going to repeat them. I have said it yesterday. But out of this point, I mentioned a good government should provide shelter for the citizens. Now, there is a rider on the question. Ask you now, you talk about shelter, what about mortgage? Because the government allows you to own a shelter, a house for yourself through mortgage arrangement, through mortgage package. Correct? Now, in mortgaging, there is riba. They ask you, they give them the house to you, but with something added, with addition. If the government is selling the house to you, they tell you, well, this house costs 100 million naira or 50 or 5, depending on the situation. But we are going to add our markup. If it is 10,000 naira, pay the government 12,000 naira. The markup here is 2,000 naira. That is a clean business. But if they are giving on a rental basis, renting, increases something, then here comes the trouble. And it's a situation. What do? The Muslim should be in the system with the aim and objective of changing the narrative. So if you can't beat them, they say, confuse them. Don't say, if you can't beat them, join them. No, don't join them. Confuse them and dribble them through good education. So I am saying the government should provide shelter for the citizens, but that doesn't mean that river should be allowed to enter. Allah says, leave river or I will declare war on you. Yeah. Read Baqarah, verse number 278. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. He says, leave usury, or I declare war on you. How can you ever win a war against Allah? How? On what basis? Those people devour a river, Allah has declared war on them. I hope this answers this inquiry. Next question.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. I had many damage clearing. Let's mention a person, Abu Bakr al-Badillahi. His narrative is, was he a companion of the Prophet?
Al-Imam Abu Bakr al-Baqillani, I talked about him, I think here. So also in the House of Version Tafsir here inside the community here. Al-Baqillani was neither a Sahabi nor a Tabi. He was not. The man lived during the 4th century. He came before Ibn Taymiyyah with about some 300 years. But he was scholastically scholarly. The man was erudite. He was bookish. He was bookworm. He read and read and read and read. The man, subhanallah, commands many fields of knowledge. So he engaged the Roman king in a debate and he won it. I think I gave you some part of the story. So the answer is he was not a Sahabi. Who is a Sahabi? Who amongst you can define for this congregation the word Sahabi? Who can do that? Yes, my brother. Who is a Sahabi? English. Who? This is a good definition. A Sahabi is such a man that don't say who saw and he didn't say it. Alhamdulillah. Because if you say the Sahabi is such a man that saw the Prophet, but there were a lot of blind people who believe in him, are you denying them the status of the Sahaba? So don't say who saw. A Sahabi is the contemporary of the Prophet who shared same epoch with him. He was his contemporary, his contemporaneous, who met him. Condition number one. Who met him, we are thrown out. We didn't meet him. Number one. Number two, he believed in him. Abu Jahl met him, but he lost the second condition. He didn't believe. Throw him out. And he died on the status of a man without changing. These three conditions are necessary in determining, in claiming who is a Sahabi. That clear?
Yeah.
That is Sahabi. Who is Tabi'i? Who lived with the Sahaba? Like Abu Hanifa, like Abu Layla, like Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, like Qatada, and the rest. So you can see from this definition once again, Al-Baqillani was not a Sahabi. Next question.
That's all.
We are today, inshallah ta'ala, taking a new surah. Surah An-Nur, chapter The Light. Let's have the initial verses of this surah. Naam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات لعلكم تذكرون
الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين.
Now this chapter, this surah is called Surah An-Nur. Chapter the light. Because the word An-Nur is mentioned in this surah in verse number 35 Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. So from this surah, from this verse 35, it acquires its name Suratun Nur. And I want to tell you, naming the surah was not done just erratically. No, it was done under the divine guidance through the teaching and tutelage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, Surah An-Nur was revealed in Medina, a Medina surah, and it is surah number 24, having 64 different verses. Its main topic is legislation. It talks about legislation, issues having to do with legal matters, the legal parameters in determining legality or illegality, especially in matrimonial and spousal, ways of living. It talks about the evil of zina, a'udzubillah. Talks about the evil of a rumor mongering, peddling rumors in society. Very destructive. Umar ibn al-Khattab says, all of you should memorize Surah An-Nur. Memorize it. Because it is a complete code of ethic for the believer. May Allah give us chances of memorizing it. And it's very easy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, the ever gracious, Ar-Rahim, the ever merciful. Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha wa anzalna fiha ayatim baynatu la'allakum tadhakkarun. Suratun, Allah says it is a surah. Surah is from aswira, something engulfing, something encircling. That is the actual. Like Suratul Al-Madinah, okay, the wall around the Madinah is called Surah. So it is called Surah because it is as if it goes around all of the content of the verses you are going to read. Suratun, it is a chapter, Anzalnaha, that we have revealed it. There is difference between Anzala and Nazala. Get it correct. Whenever Quran says Anzala, that is he revealed it once in block. So the Quran was revealed on the night of power. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakatin inna kunna mundhirin. Surah Ad-Dukhan, surah number 44. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, chapter 97. So anzala means to be revealed once. But nazala, reveal installmentally, in piecemeal, gradually. So get the meanings correctly. The Quran was brought down from the Allahul Mahfuz, the protected tablet, to the house of majesty, next to the wall. then it used to be brought down to the prophet circumstantially, depending on circumstances. In how many years? 23 years. That is Nazala. So don't be confused. Anzala is different. Nazala different. And they are both in the Quran. In Hausa, Anzala, Ya Sawkar, Nazala, Ya Sawkar. I keep on saying this. Okay. Now, Suratun Anzalnaha. It is a chapter, we revealed it. Wafaradnaha, we made it compulsory upon the believers to abide by it. From Farad. وَأَنزَلْنَا فِيهَا in this chapter we reveal in it آيَاتٍ بَيْنَاتٍ clear teachings, آيَات rulings, teachings, meanings, okay, بَيْنَات why? He says لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ perchance, likely تَذَكَّرُونَ you will remember, you will learn to know what has been revealed. Then there are some rules. In fact, more than 10. You count them one by one. Rule number one. Az-zaniyatu waz-zani fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jalda. Rule number one. Az-zaniyatu waz-zani. The female fornicator. The female committing adultery. That's az-zaniya. Wazani and the male fornicator adulterer, fajlidu kulla wahidun minhuma mi'ata jalda. Each of them shall be given 100 lashes, stroke of cane. Somebody say you should bulala them, give them lashes, 100. That is judgment. Now, let's make this clear. The white man, in his illusionary delusion, differentiates between adultery and fornication. He says, well, fornication is the sexual contact without marriage between unmarried people. But if it is between married people, it becomes adultery because he has adulterated. Imagine. But in Islam, both are condemnable, but it's more heinous, more condemnable, more dangerous if it occurs within the marital confine. It becomes extramarital irresponsibility and is condemnable, dangerous. So Allah says, she that commits zina and he that commits zina, both of them, give them lashes, cane them 100 times. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَعْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ don't allow leniency to overtake you. Rafa, leniency, compassion. Oh, please man, I love him, how can I judge you? No. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمَا بِهِمَا رَعْفَةٌ Rafa means leniency. Don't be soft on them because they have crossed Allah's boundary. Do as the Creator said, or else you are in trouble. Okay? But today, Allahu Akbar, in this world, where do we have these judgments being implemented? Since you grew up in Nigeria, have you seen any man brought to the court, judgment passed, he has committed zina, he is stoned to death because he is married? Not even stunning, stroke of cane. They did it maybe in Zamfara at the beginning of Sharia Hades, but now it has not dived. You see, if Allah's judgment is implemented, that is by far much better, more rewardable than the ibadah of some years. Hudud, to tell you, zina is very dangerous. It's very hazardous. Is highly criminal. It and pollutes the cleanness of water of genealogy. So Allah says, she that commits zina and he that commits same shall be flogged. 100 times. Don't allow leniency to come across you. Fi dinillah. In kuntum tubillahu al-akhir. If truly you believe in Allah and hereafter. وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Let a group, a band of believers witness the judgment. So now when somebody is believed to be an adulterer or adulteress and they are caught, properly judged, and the crime has been established, by the time when they are going to, when the judgment is going to be executed, is to carry it out, people should go there to see, to serve as a timely deterrent. Deterrent. Because if you see it, one will say, okay, let me check my excesses. Because if you do it, it's going to be done against you too. So, وَلْيَشْهَدْ أَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That is rule number one. Enumerate them. Number two, Allah says, الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمن. That is rule number two. Allah says الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية. The adulterer male can marry only adulterers like him. Yeah. Some are saying, no, it means lying to you, nobody will commit zina except with a woman committing zina. This is wrong translation. Are you telling me a woman is raped? Is she zania?
No.
She's been raped. So don't say yanku here means zina. It means marriage, actual marriage. Meaning, الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية. Somebody is enjoying going after women, cannot marry a woman to be, but somebody like he, because birds of the same feathers flock together. Okay, somebody who has been committing zina countlessly, now he wants to get married. Nobody will fit him. But like him. Oh yeah. How can you, for example, get an imam of a city and you bring a harlot who has been producing children out of marriage? You say, imam, this is your wife? Even though she's a Muslima, it is tasteless. You, will you take it? You. Come on. You see, so Allah says, الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية. لا ينكح means marriage. He that is adulterer cannot contract marriage but with an adulteress like you. Let me share this story with you. During our youthful days, I can remember in this city of Kano, our city, there used to be preachings from town, from area to area, from community to community. I remember those days. There was a preaching session in one area of Kano. We were there. One of the scholars was preaching and the area was surrounded by harlots, prostitutes, body sellers. Allahu Akbar. That scholar, now late, said, and the speaker was there, wallahi, some of these in Hausa, some of these prostitutes entered prostitution because they were compelled into marriage. They were forced to marry people they don't want, they don't love. You know what happened? Those statements fell on the ear of a prostitute. She took her cover. She said, Malam Allah ma al-barka. Oh yeah, Sheikh, may Allah bless you. That is exactly what happened with me. That's why I'm a prostitute. But please, if you're ready to marry me, I'm going to leave you today. To marry you, A whole sheikh? And I tell you, the sheikh keep quiet. No more preaching. Will you recommend him to marry her? Because you will see there, الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين in the same surah, verse number 26. So someone said, but she has repented now, why can't you marry her? I said, okay, you go and start. The issue is that if you marry a prostitute, a body seller, there are chances that her mind will going back to her old customers. The man is by nature very difficult to leave what he is accustomed to. And you know, people, your children will be thinking of our mother was once upon a time a prostitute. So Allah says, no. Azani la yankihu illa zaniyatan. A fornicator, an adulterer, marries only someone like him. Don't tell me it means a zani cannot commit zina but zani. No. A lady has been compelled. She's not zani in this very case. I hope it is very clear. That is the meaning. Aw mushrikatan, or a polytheist. Polytheist, a lady committing polytheism, shirk. Wa zaniyatu لا ينكحها إلا زان. Similarly, a woman that is engaged in fornication, nobody marries her but zanin, an adulterer, a fornicator like her. أو مشرك, or a polytheist. وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. That has been made illegal for the believers. But now wait, Allah says وحرم. Does that mean it is haram to marry a repentant adulteress? No. But Allah says hurima. No, hurima here means it has been made repugnant in the mind of a believer. That's the meaning of hurima here. Not haram to marry a prostitute who has repented. She's prostitute, okay. She has repented. Allah loves those who repent. But the meaning of hurima here is that it has been made disliked. You say, no, I can't. Let me tell you, not only a prostitute. This is a girl, very, very beautiful, crushingly beautiful. Okay, for example, she has the Quran, she has the Sunnah, she speaks fluent Arabic, but she was born out of wedlock. Say, Kai, you have the qualities, but you have big minus. I cannot. I am sorry. Is it her fault? Is it her fault to come to this world through this way? It's not her fault. But because you are looking at the consequence of what is going to be later. If this you hated, what about the prostitute herself? So hurima dhalika. It has been made repugnant to the mind of the believers. Next ayah.
والذين يرمون المحصنات ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فاجلدوهم ثمانين جلدة ولا تقبلوا لهم شهادة أبدا وأولئك هم الفاسقون.
This is verse or ayah number 4 in this chapter number 5. Another rule. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ. As for those who carry out perjury, you know, perjury, you know, wrong testimony against somebody innocent, but you swear to damage his character, and the swearing of the oath is a lie. So a woman that is muhsana, who is muhsana? Protected, preserved, she doesn't commit zina, she is diligent, she is scrupulous, she is God-fearing, she is muhsana, virgin, untouched by anybody, and you lie against her. La ilaha illallah. Her chastity is not defiled. You lie against her. It's, oh, she's funny. She's in a... Your tongue can kill you. Believe you me. If you don't control your utterances, it can be your killer. It contaminate you and send you into Jahannam permanently, perpetually, ceaselessly. So one has to be extra careful. I gave a lecture a few months here in Kano, in Hausa, Harshanka aljannarka ko wutarka. Yeah. Harshanka aljannarka ko wutarka. Your tongue is either your paradise or your hellfire. Depending on utilization of your tongue, Allah says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَذِهْ رَقِيبٌ أَتِلُ. Whatever you utter is there documented. So Allah says, those وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُسَنَاتِ, those who attack and level accusation against Musanat, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعْتِ شُهَدَاءَ, without producing substantiating evidences for. If somebody accuses a lady with zina, okay, accusation is very easy, but for your accusation to hold water, you have to substantiate this accusation by producing four consecutive evidences, witnesses, otherwise you'll be flogged. 80 lashes because you have character assassinated her. You have what? Demeaned her, so to speak. So the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ فَجِلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَدَةً أَبَدًا. Give them 80 lashes because they are liars. She is a muhsana. She committed zina. Okay, your evidence. There is why in Islam, one of the most difficult ways of catching a guilty person is through zina. If you see a man with a lady in a room, they locked up themselves, passing some hours, coming out, perspiring, all evidence is prima facie, will tell you zina has taken place. But you can't. You cannot. Until you have seen them pestle in mortar. Otherwise you're in for trouble. If you can produce three evidences or witnesses, four is lacking, you will be in a hot soup. You'll be flogged for lying. You become a liar, a perjury maker. So because people's honor has to be grudgingly preserved. So this ayah says, those who accuse muhsanat, preserved women, without producing four evidences or witnesses, فَجِلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا, give them 80 lashes, نعم, وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Henceforth, don't entertain any evidence they are going to give any longer. You see, they remain condemned. They have destroyed their veracity. Their acceptability has now been thrown to the garbage. Such, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, such are the waywards, the profligate, the morally bankrupt. So care should be taken. In our day-to-day dealings today, we easily pass comments. Oh, just, he's rough. He's this. Come on, you should be very careful. People's honor should be preserved. You don't want your honor to be touched negatively. So preserve other people's honor. Are you saying the time is up? Can we take one ayah or is it up? Okay. We're going to stop here. By the grace of Allah, tomorrow we are going to make progress. May Allah bless you all. May Allah accept it. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Your question.